This is Countless Screaming Argonauts, show number 13 for the week of February 14th, 2008. Baby, check this out. Hey, welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to everyone about everything. We're being produced by 8 Beer Sampler Productions for internet consumption. I'm the Penguin. My compadre is Max.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Tonight is Valentine's Day, and we open up with show number 13. So, you knowing my superstitious side, have to be aware of the fact that I'm not even remotely superstitious about 13.
No, nope. I didn't think of you as superstitious.
Well, I mean, last week we talked about how I had to have the chicken and the wings for the Giants, watching on the same TV, and, you know. I mean, yeah. Booth Boy and I have a specific way that we watch Yankee games on TV.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we do. When the Yankees are behind, we are not allowed. We're allowed to change channels just to kind of surf and see what else is going on.
Oh, is that right?
But if there's a rally going, we can't do that. We're not allowed to.
Yes. Well, that just stands to reason.
Right. So triskaidekaphobia, it's a fear of the number 13. I learned something new when I was trying to figure out how to spell this. Do you know what? There's a specific fear of Friday the 13th. And do you know what that's called?
I do not know what that's called.
It's called, believe it or not, Frigatriskaidekaphobia? Yeah.
Now that you mentioned, I think I have heard that.
Frigga.
Yeah, well, and you know who Frigga was, right?
No.
Frigga was a Norse goddess. All of the names of the days are named after gods.
Aha! Uh-huh. I didn't know that.
The sun's day, Saturn's day,
right?
Mars's day. Tuesday, I forget right off the bat. Wednesday is Woden's day, which is another name for Odin. Thor's day, which is today,
right?
And Frigga's day.
Wow.
Little well, things you can pick up from talking to a history major.
I guess. As I was looking up this whole concept, I knew that there are like hotels that don't put the 13th floor,
and
stuff like that. But there was a whole bunch of other stuff. Airport terminals don't have gates number 13.
Yeah.
Buffalo, New York, downtown City Hall has no 13th floor.
Wow. Now that's officially
pretty weird, huh?
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people believe that the number 13 came from Judas in the Last Supper, 12 disciples plus the 13th guy.
Oh.
But in the Orient, they don't have triskaidekaphobia. They have fear of the number 4.
Oh, that's interesting because they like the number 8.
Right, which is called tetraphobia.
Tetra? Quadrophobia.
No, tetraphobia. Fear of the number 4.
Huh, okay.
Korea, China, and Japan. And other Southeast Asian countries.
Isn't tetra 5?
No, tetra's 4. The game Tetris, has blocks of 4.
4, okay.
So I think it's 4.
I'll buy that.
But interestingly, things that play into it, none of Nokia's cell phones model numbers have the number 4 in them.
No kidding.
Right. And in Taiwan, no street address, no car license plate has the number 4 in it.
I did not know that.
I didn't know it either. So, I mean, we have all this kinds of weird stuff.
You've heard since the big book that caused such a scandal last year. It's made into a movie with Tom Hanks. Now I can't think of the name of it. But they tell the reason why people are afraid of Friday the 13th. I can't think of the name of that.
That
book now.
Yeah, I'm. I don't know. You got me.
There was a Middle Ages group of knights that I think it was the Templars.
You know what? I did see that in the Wikipedia article. Talked about that.
Yeah, and the church had them all killed one Friday the 13th, and
so that's where it.
Yeah.
Wow. Weird news begets weird news. I understand you have some news of the weird that we were going to talk about tonight.
I got a couple of things. It's under a section from newsoftheweird.com called Ironies. There's a couple of things that I thought I'd bring up.
Shoot.
This one I love in an ironic kind of way. California's Solar Shade Control Act protects solar panels from obstructions from sunlight. And in January, Santa Clara County officials sought to enforce the law against homeowners who themselves are staunch environmentalists. Since the backyard of Prius owners Richard Treanor and Carolyn Bissett contains lush redwood trees that block their neighbors' panels, the county ordered that the trees be cut down.
Wow.
Is that the dumbest thing you ever heard?
That's pretty bad.
And, you know, there's a legal theory called heavenly lights. And I'm not sure how this plays into it, but basically you own the rights to the air above your property. And I'm pretty sure the trees were there first.
Right.
So I don't think I get to build something in the shade of your house and then say you've got to tear down your house.
That is pretty weird, huh?
Hopefully they appealed that decision.
Yeah, you would hope so.
Yeah. There's something in here about the Museum of Tolerance.
Uh-oh. There's
in West Hollywood, again, California.
That's not where I would put the Museum of Tolerance myself.
Where would you put it?
I'd put it like in Indiana or something, I think.
Yeah. Probably not Mississippi?
No, probably not.
I'll have to apologize to Mississippi now.
Yeah, probably.
The Museum of Tolerance wanted to expand in West Hollywood, and they wanted to extend their hours and reduce the buffer zone nearby, and the neighbors petitioned them to not be able to do that, which was intolerant, and somehow it doesn't sound real funny, but anyway,
yeah,
it's ironic. They couldn't tolerate the Museum of Tolerance.
That is pretty weird.
All right. This one, speaking of weird, I don't know, maybe I should save that one for later. That's a little bit of like what we were talking about earlier that I guess we're going to save for later.
Okay.
Officials at Hyde Park Baptist Church abruptly canceled their multilateral interreligious ministries Thanksgiving when they found out there were Muslims coming and they might pray in their churches.
Oh, jeepers. You don't want praying going on in church.
Oh, no. In January, the Chinese retailers at the Beijing Silk Street Market, which is a notorious supplier of knockoff merchandise, such as Louis Vuitton, announced that they were creating their clothing line of their own. And naturally, they put a disclaimer at the bottom of their clothing saying anyone using this brand will be held liable.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Good for them.
In the Museum of Irony.
Right. Do what I say, not as I do. Is that irony? Is that?
Or is it poetic justice?
Poetic justice.
I think that's irony.
I think that's irony, too.
But anyway, that's what I got for now, because we'll leave the perverts for another day.
Right. Well, I got a couple of good weird ones, too.
Hit me.
Okay. The first one was, did you hear about that woman who yesterday got arrested by the police because she was making a deposit in an ATM?
Nope.
And she accidentally slipped her crystal meth package in with the deposit. And so the next day, she went to the bank and asked if she could have her crystal meth back.
Oh, no.
And the police were there and they arrested her. I thought that was pretty weird.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, well, it could be. That's still pretty weird. Do you know that Thailand?
I don't know it personally.
Okay, but it has a ban on sex on Valentine's Day.
No, really?
Yes. Yeah, I guess they have a real problem with public sex.
Oh.
And so there was this poll that was done, and they polled like 3,000 people, and you know how painful that can be. They polled like 3,000 people.
The same poll.
Right. Well, 27% of the people said they were thinking about having sex outdoors in public on Valentine's Day.
How many?
And so 27%. So that's like 700 or 800 people. Now, they didn't say whether it was like, so is that 400 pairs of people, or is that 800 people having sex by themselves, or what? But it's that's what they were planning. And so the police department and the government has issued a ban for sex on Valentine's Day. And they're going to have increased patrols in parks, and they're keeping all the street lights on. And
so
all
is it a
all
ban
kind of
for
stuff.
Public sex, or is it a ban for all sex?
Well, I'm sure that it's a ban for public sex, but the way the article is written, it makes it sound like they're banning sex altogether.
They should get the Taiwanese police into the Minnesota airport.
Well, that would be okay, but it wasn't Taiwan. It was Thailand.
I beg your pardon. Yeah.
Taiwan was the no fours in the in their license plates.
Right, and they have a lot more people. Or actually, Thailand has a lot of people, too.
Sure it does. Absolutely.
And I don't know this firsthand, but my understanding is there's a lot of sex going on in Thailand.
Right.
Not all of it wholesome, either.
Right. It is, well, despite Bangkok's reputation as one of the world's sex industry centers.
Right.
Predominantly Buddhist Thailand is generally a conservative country.
No, really?
That's what they say.
I had a friend who was in the Navy, and he was telling stories that didn't involve conservative.
Uh-huh.
But you know what they say? One town's very like another when your head's down over your pieces,
right,
brother.
February, I'm reading from the article. February 14th, we'll see city officials turn on all lights at public parks in the capital, and parents are being urged to make sure that their teenagers come home early. Police and, quote, student inspectors, unquote, from the education ministry will be checking discreet curtain motels to make sure that youths under the legal age of 18 are not using them for amorous interludes.
Wow. That's a really sad story. Student inspectors?
Student inspectors, that's what they're called.
One of the saddest things around is a really, really conservative young person.
Uh-huh.
You know, somebody that's out inspecting the sex life of someone else or preventing the sex life of someone else. That's a sad story.
That is kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, especially for young people. I mean, you know, if there's some 85-year-old lady who wants to be annoying, you can understand it. But you just – if you're 19 years old, you shouldn't be interested in preventing people from having sex. It's just not natural.
Right, right. Well, this is from Reuters, this article. And, I mean, it's just – the whole thing is pretty bizarre. But, I mean, it just goes into that they quote some Bangkok police spokesman who says, "We will send patrols to check out public parks, restaurants, and shopping malls, which are often the starting points for potential sexual activity."
Wow.
So they're obviously taking us pretty seriously.
I think so.
And that scares me.
Needs to get a life, yeah.
And now I have another. Now, this is not weird of the news of the weird. Weird of the news. This is not news of the weird.
All right.
But I have to admit.
This is Listexia, however.
Right. I have to admit that this is one of the funniest things that I have read in a long time.
Okay.
Now, you have to understand, Max, I read your blog every day.
Oh.
And you do say funny things.
Yeah.
But you also have a real serious side and stuff.
Yeah.
And I check out a lot of different blogs. I don't read any regularly. Mm-hmm. But I'm always checking out one.
Right, right.
You know, I check them out all the time. Well, there is a blog out of Atlanta, and it's called Satire News.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy wrote this blog entry. And basically he was talking about the fact that he was upset because lots and lots of people see, and we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that he was upset because lots and lots of people see the vision of Jesus in their tacos.
Oh, yeah.
Or Mary in the French toast batter.
Right.
You know, or that kind of thing. And as an atheist, he didn't have that opportunity. So he wrote a satirical blog entry.
Yeah.
And it's called An Atheist Sees the Image of the Big Bang in a Piece of Toast.
And, I like it.
And he goes on to say, he writes it, he says, excitement is growing in the northern England town of Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. Following the news that a local man saw an image of the Big Bang in a piece of toast.
That's great.
Atheist Donald Chapman told local newspapers, the local newspaper, the Huddersfield Express, that he was sitting down to eat breakfast when an unusual toast pattern caught his eye. And then they have this quote, and this is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Said, I was just about to spread the butter when I noticed a fairly typical small hole in the bread surrounded by a burnt black ring. However, the direction and splatter patterns of the crumbs, as well as the changing shades emanating outward from the black hole, were very clearly similar to the chaotic, dynamic, nonlinear patterns that one would expect following the Big Bang. It was the beginning of the world, he added excitedly.
Do you think he could sell it on eBay?
I would imagine that if he put that up, he would make big bucks.
You think?
The funniest thing
would it be
is
like 45 cents.
No, I think he'd
some
make
other
bucks,
atheist
somebody
would go...
will buy that. Absolutely. Absolutely. The funniest thing is they have, and I'm guessing it's not his toast, but rather a picture of stock toast that he's added to the blog.
Yeah.
And it's just a piece of toast.
Right.
I mean, there's no rings. There's no black burnt spot. There's no emanating patterns. There's no Big Bang anywhere in the picture. But
he sees it.
But nonetheless, yes. So atheists can see something in their you know, that they can crow
about. Right, there's an image for him. I was thinking you were going to say Ben Franklin or something.
Oh. Okay, no. I thought the Big Bang was an excellent choice.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's a great choice.
If you're going to be seeing religious figures, you might as, and you're an atheist, you might as well say,
yeah, Big Bang.
The Big Bang. It would make some sense, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
There you go. Hey, listen, what did you think about the Roger Clemens debacle?
Oh, geez. You know, I don't know. I try to put my personal disdain for Mr. Clemens aside, and I can't. I would like to have seen it more definitive.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Clemens throwing his wife under the bus, so to speak, was shameful.
Well, I told somebody today that I thought that now Roger is going to make Kobe Bryant buying his wife the $6 million diamond ring after he had the affair.
Yeah.
It's going to make him look like a pauper.
You think Mrs. Clemens is going to?
I think Mrs. Clemens is going to get just about anything she wants out of this deal.
You know,
either that or in 6 months we'll be reading about the Clemens divorce. And how she's getting half of his $850 million.
I hate to say anything good about Roger Clemens, but I heard this story. It's unattributable, but purported to be true. Of all the baseball players who have ever played the game, they all go out and cheat on their wives, except Roger Clemens. He is dyed-in-the-wool faithful, is the way I put it. Would never consider cheating on his wife. And just knowing his sort of mental fixation, I suppose it's possibly true. His wife is very attractive. They have five kids, so they've at least seen each other socially.
Right. Right.
Of course, his vanity is extensive because he's named all of his kids after the – or starting with the letter K.
Right. And his – you know, I mean, it's – to me, it's just an extension of what Jim Bouton talked about in Ball 4. I mean, he just – I mean, all the stories he told. I mean, you know, these are
I never read it.
I know you haven't read it, and that's a damn shame.
I'm going to read it, I swear.
It really is. You really, really should.
Yeah.
If you're going to read a baseball book, that's definitely one that you should start with. Just because it, you know. See, the other problem or the problem with that is that you probably don't need to read it.
I know a lot of this stuff already.
But when I read it,
anecdotes.
When I read it, I was a, you know, a huge baseball fan who just, you know, saw baseball players and, you know, as idols.
Right, in this perfect
And I read this book, and it just basically just took everybody and put them in their proper place.
And that's why I didn't read it for all these years, but I think it's time I do.
I think Boothboy read it and had the same sort of reaction,
yeah.
Which I think was really good because he got it when he was 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's had such a level head about sports in general. Whereas I didn't get it until much, much later on.
Right. Well, our parents had the naive view of baseball. You know, it has to do with the role of the press and the way the media is in this country. In the 1940s, people didn't know that Franklin Roosevelt was crippled.
Right, right. You know, oh, sure. No, yeah.
My dad read the Babe Ruth autobiography and believed it all. And I told him, I read it, and I said, well, that's a nice book, but it's entirely whitewashed. What about this story and what about that story? And he would just huff and bother and not buy any of it. And I didn't get into great detail with him because he'd been offended. But, you know, all I had to do was say that I think that the shot heard around the world there, or the called shot, rather, was probably a bunch of BS and a public relations, and Ruth was a great public relations guy.
Right.
And he'd say, no, that really happened. I said, yeah, it happened, but he was, according to later stories, he was pointing at the picture. It's the naivete that was presented to us as athletes are heroes.
Sure.
And the great thing about it is not that they were heroic, but in the case of Mickey Mantle, he was genuinely charming, perfectly naive in a totally vulgar way, if that's possible, and totally humble. And if you're going to have an illusion about someone, Mickey Mantle is the guy to have an illusion about. He was obviously my father's favorite player, and therefore my favorite player when I was a kid. And yeah, he was a flawed human being, but that naivete, I don't think it hurt me any.
Right.
But
do you think
that, you know, the world's different now?
Right. You know, the other part of that, and it goes even further. And it may have to do with the press, and it may have to do with a lot of things. But I think that in general, our society. I mean, in the 40s and 50s, you had movie stars and sports heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nowadays we have Britney Spears and Roger Clemens.
Right.
You know. People with lots of warts and bumps and, you know,
and
issues
human.
And problems. And yeah, I guess they are. I guess they are. I don't believe I'm going to tell this story. When Boothboy listens to this podcast, I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this, too.
Yeah.
But he's big into Big Brother, the show
the
Big
TV
Brother.
Show? Yeah.
It was on last night, the opening show.
Yep.
Now, I have to admit that I have never, ever, ever watched it.
Me neither.
But last night, he wanted to watch it. There was nothing else on. I was there, so I ended up watching a little bit with him.
Okay.
And basically you had these pairs of people who were in this house, whatever. And I was flabbergasted because I just don't understand how people with this type of personality or how people with these lack of skills, social skills, get themselves in on a show like this. This is the opening show.
Lack of skills.
This is the opening show, and one of the guys starts telling people that he's quote unquote heard from other people in the house that this other guy is a snake. Now, I'm assuming by that he means, you know, just a lousy guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But nobody said that to him. He was making it up.
Right.
And the guy called him on it.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting kicked out of the house the first night. And it was like, you know, Dylan was like cheering.
Yeah.
Booth Boy was just like beside himself cheering that this guy was getting kicked out and stuff.
But it's a tactic, right? It's a strategy.
I guess. What does that say about society that puts these people together like this and has a tactic of lying to get them to, you know what I mean?
Well, it's reality shows. First of all, they're not reality.
No, they're the furthest thing from reality.
It's artificial stress, but it's about emoting. It's like competitive emoting. In this case, anger. You know, it's a situation that generated anger that had nothing to do with the world as people normally live in it. And it's, you know, competition, but it's an emotional competition. It's bullshit. I don't know. I don't think it has any real value. I don't think it.
Yeah,
also,
I don't
you know, I don't think it really says that much about our society, other than a tendency toward voyeurism, maybe.
Right.
Or watching
the angst of others.
Well, that's what I mean.
Right.
We seem to like it. And I think there's a biological reason for it. Because we are learning creatures, we have – I think there's a Darwinian advantage in being able to see a situation and determine whether or not it's dangerous. I think underlying all of it, strife and conflict is the fight or flight reflex.
Right.
And it's just sort of leftover skills that are unnaturally hyper generated in this unnatural environment. But I think underneath it all, it's one thing we learn to do as humans is evaluate situations and evaluate other people. You know, when you get in an environment, you meet somebody for the first time, you're making decisions all the time. Is this a person?
Sure.
I have a theory that there's three kinds of people in the world. The kind of people you go toward, the kind of people you go away from, and the rest of them that you haven't met yet.
Gee, imagine that. Another group of three.
Another rule of three. The CSA Scaly thing.
Right there?
Yeah.
That sounds like a rating scaly thinger one day.
Yes, it does.
You know, I don't know what you have to come up with a name for good people, bad people, and indifferent people or something. But
yeah,
are they good? Are they bad? Or are they indifferent?
Who was it that said there's no strangers, just friends I haven't met yet?
Right.
Well,
he was wrong.
Right. The truth is there are bad people in the world, and generally you avoid them.
Right.
So this guy tried to make the other guy seem like the bad guy and ended up being the bad guy himself.
Right.
And the interesting thing to me is that people saw through it and threw out the right guy.
Right. Well, they certainly did.
Speaking of throwing out the right guy, the real answer to your question is, I think Clemens did it. The question in my mind is, does he think he did it? I really think there's a possibility that OJ doesn't think he did it.
Uh-huh.
And Clemens being so strong-willed, I think it's possible that he believes he didn't do steroids.
Right. Always convinced himself of it.
Yeah, I think he's that... He's
strong-egoed.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Well, listen, I know this is going to come as a shock to you.
Yeah.
But our time is almost up, and I'm not going to catch another week of shit from Booth. I'm tired of it.
I think I misheard you. Did you say our time was up?
I did. I'm saying that our 30-minute podcast has almost reached its conclusion.
Wait, I think I misheard you. You're trying to close out this podcast?
I'm telling you that our time is up, dude. Our time is up. And I'm not going to catch...
My time may be up, but my time personally isn't up. I never personally ran out of time.
Uh-huh. Well, I haven't run out of time either, but...
I think Andy Pettit may have run out of time.
I think there's a bunch of people who may have run out of time.
All right. I surrender.
Before I go, I did want to just talk briefly about that perfect pair. Okay, and I'm not talking about Scarlett Johansson.
You're not talking about Scarlett?
I'm not talking about Scarlett Johansson. I'm talking about, I saw this article about words that go together joined by the word and.
Okay.
It just kind of go with each other. And I just wanted to throw it out and see if we could just come up with a bunch of them as we're getting ready to close.
All right, fair enough.
So before we go out, let me just thank 8 Beer Sampler Productions for, again, nothing, because nobody's here tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't push that own. Too hard, though.
We've become podcast orphans.
I had
Booth Boy teach me how to do a little bit of editing and stuff, and I'm learning all about it. And it's like he's the papa and mama bird who kicked me out of the nest.
Yeah.
He basically is like, I'm out of here. Goodbye. See you later.
Well, you're flying so far, but I need to learn this stuff, too.
Well, anyway, we'll have to figure it all out. So all right. Thanks for nothing, 8-Beer Sampler and Booth Boy, and we're kind of leaving
out trials and tribulations.
Could be. So words that go together joined by the word and, like peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
They couldn't be vegetable, mineral. Doesn't matter. Could be person, place, thing, whatever. But just try to come up with a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe. So they can be created. They don't have to be traditionally.
No, well, I guess we could have an argument about whether that really fits the bill. I mean, it's not peanut butter and jelly, but those two words, if you Google them, they're going to come up exactly like that in quotes.
Over and over and over again. I think that these are things that can be added to.
Sure.
Just like language in general can be added.
Well, that's the best part about language. Penn and Teller.
Did you know that Teller just turned 60?
No, I didn't. Wow.
Yeah, that's what everybody said. old and in the way. That's not your word.
No, that would be
together, right?
It is. There's a picture opposite me. I'm not sure that fits primitive ancestry. Words stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwrecked free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, you bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. You can hear in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over? Find a point on it. Say I'm the only being